So Jesus goes up the mountain. He's trying actually to find a place of rest, of silence, of solitude. And he goes up the mountain and he looks over there and he sees all those people. They just won't leave him alone. If I were Jesus at that point, I'd go like, stay away. Stay away! Give me some room. But he finds within himself that kind of depth and breadth and height and length that Paul talks about in his own body and the fullness of the Creator, and he gives of himself. And they are fed with 5 loaves, 2 fish. There's no money. There's no food. But Jesus takes what's offered by this child, by a young person, and he feeds multitudes. Out of that incredible fullness within him, giving of himself one more time to all those people. You and I are like those people. We're always needing more. Not just what's in the wallet or in the purse, but we need more. Right in here. And we're always coming after our God. We're always coming after Jesus. We're always coming after something, somewhere, somehow, to get more. Because we think, empty. And so we follow up the mountain, searching, looking, hoping, dreaming.
Lesson. Because in the passage that we heard, in English we heard some pretty ordinary words like darkness, awakened, and it is I. But if you actually look at the Greek translation, look at the original Greek, those 6 verses explode with meaning. So in our English translation, it says that after Jesus fed the 5,000 and he went up on the mountain, the disciples got into the boat and it was dark and they set off to Capernaum. In the Greek, that word for it got dark doesn't just mean the sun set. It means darkness had come to be. Darkness had come to be upon the earth. In a cosmic sort of sense. Darkness had come onto the earth in the sense of selfishness, fear, ego-driven fear across the earth. And the sea was awakened, it says. The sea was awakened. In English it says the sea was rough. In Greek it says the sea was awakened. And this word awakened is the same word that is used for the awakening of an evil monster. The awakening of this evil sea monster. If you could just imagine this roiling sea that's just crazy, roiling, dangerous, scary, it's dark, and these giant waves are coming. And into this very scary, very tempestuous environment, they see Jesus walking on the water. And he says, "Do not be afraid, it is I." But in the Greek, what he actually says is, "Do not be afraid, for I am." And if that rings a bell for anyone, that might sound familiar, because there's a passage in Exodus when God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. And Moses says, Who shall I say sent me? Who is it who is speaking to me? And God responds and he says, "Tell them, I am who I am, sent you." So, in Hebrew, this was the essential, most holy way to say the name of God. It was, I am. It was the essence of being itself, is how God named God's self. This was a word so holy that no one was ever supposed to write it down, even. And here, with the very new Christian community, we have Jesus reclaiming that phrase from the Hebrew tradition from which he was a part. And he was saying, I am here. And he calmed the beast.
When I was the age of, somewhere in the age of these kids, I remember having an argument with my father. I had done something wrong. I'd been a bad boy. Anybody have that experience? Bad girl? Yeah. And I ran. I ran into the bathroom. There was no escape from the bathroom, in the bathroom, and I kind of huddled in the corner, and I was scared, and he came in all big and burly. You know, when you're that size, your parents are like, that. They are God. And I just kind of, looking at him, he crouched down and tried to talk to me, and I was just scared of him. And I just kind of gave up and ran into his arms. And then he could be very tender with children. That's what I needed. I knew I did something wrong. I was afraid I was going to be punished, and what happened was he held me. And then when I was, 15, my father came into my room, my bedroom, one evening, and told me what I already knew deep inside, that he and my mother were going to get a divorce. I had heard the arguments behind the doors. I knew something was up that was powerful, that was deep, that couldn't be fixed. And inwardly, way down here, I knew. And yet, when he told me those words, it was like a shock that numbed me. In 2005, in October, I got a phone call from my uncle, who lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he said, your mother's in emergency, but you don't have to come right now. I'll let you know if it gets worse. 2 days later, he calls me and says, if you want to see your mother alive, come now. Chaos. The sea roiled. The beasts started to move around me. And I couldn't get hold of my wife. I needed her to take me to the airport. I tried to figure out how to get a reservation really fast. I didn't know how to do that. I was just fumbling everywhere. How do I get packed? How do I do this? How do I do that? And all I could do was say, help, help, help. Go up the mountain. Help, help, help. And my wife came back. I told her what was going on. Somehow I got the reservation done. She got me to the airport 10 minutes before the last plane to Albuquerque. I got in time, to hospital in time, in Santa Fe, to hold my mother's hand as she died overnight. Never could regain consciousness. I went up the mountain, and Jesus gave me the food that he had, and it was enough. It was enough. It was enough. In the midst of the roiling sea, of the chaos, of my deep need, God was there. God answered those prayers, those needs, even before I knew God. Praise God.
This tempestuous sea. Swedenborg says that this sense of this roiling sea corresponds to our natural loves in a state that precedes spiritual wisdom. That sense of roiling, chaotic craziness is what it feels like when we're living out of our natural selves alone, and we haven't turned to accept the peace and love of the Lord into our minds. Swedenborg said, and I have to read this because the quote from Swedenborg is so wonderful. He doesn't always have the greatest quote. Why is this one this great? He says, the Lord calms the tempestuous commotions of the natural man when the spiritual mind is open. And through it, the Lord flows into the natural. So what that means is when we are caught in storms of fear, storms of not knowing what to do, storms of our ego taking control of our lives, storms of worry, storms of grief, storms of resentment, storms of anger. That's what it feels like, that giant boiling sea. And when we take it a step further and we open ourselves, we center ourselves, we align ourselves with God's inflowing love and wisdom, the sea will calm. The sea will calm, and we will be able to see clearly.
Put in your hands, in your body, a time of discomfort. I mean, we are living during an intense period of discomfort. The economy, more people being evicted from their homes, more homeless, less medical coverage, more war, more rhetoric on both sides of the aisles. We just want them to find answers, that is our leaders, and they just keep fussing at each other. It's a time of being on the sea during a storm. And then added to that, our own individual struggles, our own individual seeking, our own need for the bread that gives life. We are in the crowds gathered following Jesus saying, please help me. Please help us. Whether you're talking about an individual or a family or a society or a church or a denomination, we're all in need. We all are sometimes terrified. There is no solid ground. Can you feel that in your bodies? Get a little seasick in the darkness on the open ocean, on the Sea of Galilee, on the Sea of Life. And Jesus walks across the water. He stamps on the back of the primordial beast of chaos and he says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It is I. I am He. And we're still on the sea in the boat. And the storms are still there. The monster is still there. The quiescence as Jesus strides through the cosmos and says, I am He. Can you put that into your bodies? Think of one thing that's really troubling you, really twisting you and turning you and torturing you. That's the rolling sea. That's the primordial monster that wants to come up and eat you. And Jesus walks across the water. And it's terrifying to see him do that for the disciples. And he comes to them and he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We say, are you crazy? You see those waves? See my intellectual turmoil? Do you see my faith struggle? Do you see my economic situation? He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Oh, to know the depth and breadth and height and width of God's love for us, that we may know God fully and have something of the fullness of God right there. I think that's what the great religions of the world aim for, whether you call it regeneration, sanctification, salvation, whatever you call it, enlightenment. It's that living into being more like, for a Christian, like Christ. For other people, being like that representation of divinity. Do not be afraid. Stand up straight. Yes, the waves are there.
Yes, the waves are there. Do not be afraid. And in the story, the disciples say, yeah, come on in the boat. And immediately, the boat reaches land. Immediately. A safe spot. A safe place. Right here. Right deep inside. Right here.
What stands out to me from this story are two things. Two things. One is that this is the way Jesus works in this story. In the whole Gospel of John, it's about Jesus working with chaos and forming a spiritual community out of things that are undone, things that are not perfect. I know I tend to think, read the newspapers, I look around in our world, look at the California state budget situation, look at our economy, look at Iran and North Korea and everything, and I just start to feel overwhelmed and scared about what's happening in our world. But when I read this text, I was reminded that in a sense, it has always been this way. The world has always evidenced a feeling of instability. We've never arrived at a place where all the problems have been solved, where all the fear has gone away. And in fact, it is precisely into that atmosphere that Jesus comes and Jesus forms community. So in this community here, in the transitions that we are going through, in the roiling seas of our individual lives, our family lives, guess what? We have all we need. We have all we need to be an authentic faith community. Now, the other thing this story makes me think of is opening to another dimension that Jesus represents, another dimension. And I want to tell you a story. And I have a little prop to help me tell this story. One time, several years ago, when my daughter Claire was about one or two, she and I were walking along Solano Avenue in Berkeley one afternoon, and there was a store, a clothing store, that had a clothing rack put out on the sidewalk, and they had some helium balloons attached to it. And I was holding her in my arm, and as we got near to it, she was fascinated, kind of like, ah, I wanted to touch the balloon and hold it. And so I let her reach out to it, but I didn't realize that the balloon was not tied carefully enough to the wrap. So she sort of pulled on it, touched it, and then all of a sudden it flew up into the sky, up, up, and away. And she was terrified. And she began to cry. And my feeling was that she wasn't crying because she lost the balloon that she wanted. She was crying because it was the first time she realized that another dimension exists in her reality. She had spent 18 months or 2 years thinking in horizontal terms, thinking about gravity, thinking about world life taking place on the horizontal plane. And all of a sudden, this infinite dimension of reality was revealed to her that had been there all along. But the helium balloon made it evident. And she was terrified. And so just like the disciples in the boat, Jesus was bending the laws of thermodynamics, right? Bending the laws of gravity, bending the laws of physics, feeding 5,000 people out of a few scraps of bread, walking on water. He was breaking open their assumptions about what reality could be. Breaking open their assumption that the natural world is all there is. Because the fact is that while we're walking around on planet Earth every day of our lives, if we just look up, Here it is. Infinity. The stars are above our heads. So may we open our minds and our hearts to a new dimension. The new dimension of the spiritual life.